Yes, there's a lot to consider. Kyle spoke in a slow, thoughtful tone that suggested he had grown more interested in the abstract question than the real problem, and that was a big relief to Kenth. At the moment, he could not afford to get into a heated argument with his masters about whether the Jedi Order should be doing more to support Freedom Flight's drive to eliminate slavery from the galaxy.
What about discipline and neglect? Do the Blaudons abuse their slaves?
There are bad beings in every species,
Saba replied.
But the Blaudons have laws against mistreating any creature, and those laws are enforced.
Which is rather beside the point, if I may say so.
Leia spoke without permission, not even bothering to glance Kent's way to seek it.
It's the Mandalorians that are the problem, not the revolt.
Yes, exactly,
Saba said.
The Uktusi will not fight, but they will not yield. Now that they have risen in protest, they will continue to protest until they have won.
Won what precisely? Kyle asked. Emancipation? Wages?
It is strange that they would demand either,
Saba said.
They are free to return to Blau Duoctis on a harvesting ship anytime they wish, and they have always been confused by the idea of money.
She looked toward Leia.
What does the report say?
Leia thought for a moment, then shook her head.
The only thing Mahdi has mentioned so far is freedom, she said. Nothing specific.
Which strikes me as suspicious,
Kent said.
If the Uktusi are free to live where they choose, free to return to their homeworld to die, and free to spend their leisure time as they wish, it's hard to believe such simple beings even understand the ways in which they aren't free.
What are you saying, Grandmaster?
Baratakel asked. Her voice was a bit less deep and gravelly than most of the Yuuzhan. She had once suffered a grievous throat wound, and when it was repaired, she had asked to have her vocal cords thinned so that her speech would be more understandable to other species.
That it is permitted to keep slaves as long as they lack the intelligence to realize what they are.
You know better, Master Baratakel.
Kenth fixed the Yuuzhan with an icy glare and held it until she finally averted her gaze, then turned to Han.
Would you replay the feed you just showed?
Sure.
Han touched some controls, and a moment later a holographic line of Uktusi slaves was trotting through the speaking circle.
From here?
That's fine, thank you,
Kenth replied.
Now, would you freeze the scene and magnify one of those Uktusi, one carrying a sign?
Han scowled in puzzlement, but did as he was asked. And a moment later, the hologram depicted a single life-sized Uktusi, with shaggy white fur and a long, barrel-shaped abdomen connecting his hind and forequarters. He resembled the beast of burden that his Blaudon masters claimed he was. But in the broad, flat trunk rising up from his forequarters, there was a gracefulness, hinting at the tranquil nature Saba had described. And in his broad shoulders and hammer-shaped head, there was a gentle beauty born of the uncomplicated integrity of a simple soul. When Kenth activated his laser pointer, though, it was the broken shackles depicted on the sign that he illuminated.
Master Sabatine, have these beings ever been shackled?
No. Why would they be shackled when they have nowhere?
The bearable let her question trail off, her eyes bulging as she seemed to comprehend the reason for Kent's question.
Shackles would be rare, Grandmaster Hamner. Too rare.
So where did they learn the symbolism? Kyle asked. He turned to the other masters and added, Grandmaster Hamner is right. Someone put them up to this. The other masters glanced around at one another, searching for a face that seemed to have some idea as to who might benefit from such a thing. Kenth allowed them ample opportunity to find someone, then finally cleared his throat.